Welcome to Soul Wellness with Kristen, where we get into the nitty-gritty of various holistic modalities and explore exactly how they help you heal. I'm your host, Kristen, and I invite you to join me on this enlightening expedition where we explore the connection between mind, body, and spirit. In each episode, we'll talk in depth with holistic providers, medical professionals, therapists, and healers. Our goal is to empower you with knowledge, inspire you with stories of resilience, and provide practical tools that you can integrate into your daily life. So, find a comfortable space and join us as we explore the multifaceted world of holistic wellness. Get ready to learn how to improve every aspect of your life and simply feel good. The adventure begins now. Thank you for joining us. Today, I am speaking with Ryan Fault, who is a licensed massage and bodywork therapist, but does a wide range of other holistic services, including meditation instruction, integrative bodywork, and sound therapy as a personal strategy for healing and awakening. So welcome, Ryan.
Thank you. Thank you, Krista. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to talk to you because you do so many different things. What ultimately led you to this journey of helping people in an integrative and holistic way?
What really brought it about was many years ago, while I was on active duty in the military, I went through a series of spiritual awakenings that were really evident at the time. You know, a couple things going on. One is, this would have been 98, so there were tensions in the Middle East. It was, I felt like I had accomplished my goals as a young Marine and was ready to leave active duty. But then the spiritual awakening really spurred something else. You know, there's a different level of communication from, I guess we'll call it the great mystery of what was really going on there. So when I went to Paris, I actually went through some past life regressions, and the past life regressions were some of the most interesting experiences I'd ever been through at that point in my life, especially as a young Marine. You know, it's like you come from the rigid formality of the Marine Corps. I ended up in Paris for the last few months of my tour. What's nice about Paris is there's a fair amount of English speakers there, so there's a pretty strong expat community. And there saw an advertisement for past life regressions, and that's sort of how things unfolded in that. From
you
that
were
direction.
Just curious.
I was really just curious, and I would say for past life regression, that's sort of the key. There is to not, you don't really know what to expect going into those,
right.
So to not really like have super high expectations. It come from that place of curiosity, and it really helped because it was like it was even more questioning and more of a spiritual inquiry and karmic inquiry on the way things are, I guess.
Okay.
So I came back from there, came back from home from overseas, was unsure of what I wanted to do. Although, long story short, I met my first spiritual family and was really introduced to a group of women healers. So that's really where my first inclinations towards hands-on healing comes from.
That's fantastic. And then you started the education process.
Well, at the time I was a glass major. I was a fine arts major at Kent State University. And I was like, what's the right way to put that? Really uncertain if a finance degree was the way I should go. So I actually left school early to become a massage therapist thinking, well, I already have this healing background. I know I want to go in this direction, so I should go get a license so I can take clients and go from there.
Okay. You offer a lot of different holistic modalities. What does a typical session with you look like as far as assessing the client and determining what they need? Do you do an initial consultation and kind of get a feel for what direction you're going to take the healing process?
I'd like to have that one-on-one relationship where it's slowed down, where I have an opportunity to get to know someone and get an understanding of what's happening with them both spiritually and physically. Currently I'm seeing veterans who are covered under the Veterans Community Care Network, but if a regular person were to come off the street, a regular patient, I found that they're coming to me from a meditation background and more maybe of a karmic inquiry again. So that's kind of a client that I'd be attracting that I could spend more time with and have an open dialogue with so I could have more time to get to know them.
Okay.
But then that invariably leads to chronic pain. So really we're dealing with musculoskeletal pain, chronic pain, and some of those deep-seated emotions that sit underneath those somatic tensions.
So in essence, sometimes you're combining modalities. You're combining a few different things when you see a client.
I am, and that's really what took me the longest. One of the longest things to get to is understanding what was being integrated. Because as much as I'd like to work with a spiritual intention, and I do, most people that come to see me come for body aches and pains. So there's a bit of a different direction because I need to be able to treat each patient and address their needs. So not everyone's going to come off the street and saying, or not everyone's coming to see me is going to say, you know, hey, let's, you know, connect with spirit and do all these fun things. But, you know, my body hurts, this hurts, this is going on. So that's a little bit of a balance that I have to take into consideration there.
So typically they're seeking you out for body work, they're in pain. And then it's leading into more of a, well, let's see why you're having this pain and what you're holding on to. And then
the emotional tension is really at the base of most chronic conditions like that.
Yes.
It's not my place to force that to go in any one direction. It's not anyone's choice, but the person who's going through that. But there are some deep-seated emotions that really happen in there. And those emotions usually have a connection with the spiritual realms in some way, shape, or form.
And I'm sure you can gracefully plant those seeds, too, when you're working on somebody body work-wise. And you can kind of, you know, gracefully let them know there's probably some underlying, or at least question them.
That's where building relationship with a therapist is important, because mm-hmm. it's not something I'm going to force or assume. So it takes some time for each person to get to know each other, for the person receiving the work to trust the process, but then also them to know me well enough to open up on deeper levels.
So talk to me about some of the body work that you do, the hands-on manual body work that you do, because there's several different massage modalities that you incorporate.
The difference there, so I do less Swedish massage and less feel-good massage and more mm-hmm. body work. So with myofascial release, we're really working with the soft tissue and some of the chronic pain issues. With visionary cranial sacral work, we're working more with the parasympathetic nervous system and getting to a deep sense of relaxation. With those combination of craniosacral therapy and myofascial release, you can alleviate a lot of concerns. But both of those come from the background in shamanism and shamanic healing.
Okay.
I share the shamanism and the shamanic healing so people can understand me and I feel like I'm comfortable with them, but I don't expect everyone to come to me for shamanic services. They come for, they're for aches and pains.
Okay. But I also saw on your website you offer Thai massage as well.
I have a background in Thai massage. When I first became a licensed therapist, I first learned Thai massage, which I still love. I have not done a Thai massage in some time, though.
Oh, so, really? Okay.
So as I've grown older, I'm like, boy, I don't know if I really want to, you know, it requires a floor mat and some other procedures, right. And I don't know if I would dive into a Thai massage.
What's your favorite?
To receive or to give?
To give? Or both?
My favorite to receive is probably craniosacral work or actually Thai massage. I mean, a great Thai massage, when it's centered, mm-hmm. is incredibly both nourishing and pain-relieving. With the craniosacral work, it appeals to, I guess, more of my sixth sense and a deeper level of intuition.
So you like to do that?
That's what I know, I guess. So that's, mm-hmm. you know, it's not even a preference. It's just that layer of depth is what I know.
Okay. As far as the energy work and vibrational healing that you do, what kind of instruments are you using and who are you helping with that type of session?
There are two main components to that. One is both on the body work, mm-hmm. on the body sound work, and one is off the body. So on the body, we use brass bowls of varying sizes.
Okay.
But the side walls have a different thickness, so a different level of vibration. With a fully closed session, you get both bowls on the body or tuning forks, you know, near the body.
So where on the body are you putting a bowl?
The bowls actually go mostly on the thorax. Okay. They can be in a supportive position at the heads, the feet, the arms, the legs, all these different positions for the bowls, but that's actually me holding it in place with a supportive posture. When you get to the thorax, you can actually lay them out much closer to the spine or the center of the body. After about 30 or 40 minutes, it gives a really, really nice floating deep sense of relaxation, like ethereal, you know, astral. Like you can really, I don't want to say vacate your body, but you can really go to a different realm, mm-hmm. realm with the right amount of time to get to that place where you're just sinking in with mm-hmm. the breathing and relaxing. When I first experienced as a recipient, I was like, wow, I've really got to learn this, because I'd wanted to get into music for a while, but I'm not a music player necessarily. I don't play instruments and read music. So I'm like, how can I really get into listening and get into vibrations from where I was at that point in time?
That's fascinating. I've experienced tuning forks, but I've never experienced a bowl being placed on me. So that's really interesting.
The bowls are nice. And what's nice is, one, it's fully clothed. The other part of that component is they're heavy. And sometimes people like the weight mm-hmm. on their body. You know, it's a very decompressing feeling, but can also be very comforting. So the bowls range anywhere from a few inches to several inches in diameter. And the bigger ones get, I mean, it's not like an iron skillet, but it's a noticeable weight you can feel in there.
Right.
Yep.
Wow.
And then off the body, we have frosted quartz crystal bowls. And that goes in a range of, I think I've got a set of 7 and 3 bigger ones. So those can go off the body. But those are maybe more appropriate for a sound bath or community setting. The personal stuff that you might want to try, the on-the-body stuff, is probably where I would start most people at.
Okay.
The other part of that, too, though, is with those two components is I'm a glass blower, so I'm bringing these singing bowls into the mix as a glass blower. There's sort of a thing I'm doing it with glass and setting up some content, but I'm going to Corning, New York to reconnect with a person that taught me how to blow glass who works up there, but also reconnect with the material. But there's a few musical instruments that can be made from glass. So I'm sort of exploring this idea of sound healing and bringing glass blowing back into the mix with body work.
So are you telling me that you're making your own glass crystal bowls?
They are hand blown. I am making my own, but they're not crystal. Okay. They're actually just regular glass. The crystal, from my understanding, is a denser material, so it'll have a little bit of a different resonance, but this is a bit of a learning curve for me to go back to the glass studio.
Oh, nice.
And I'm making my classmates some singing bowls because it's like a good structure for me to get there, a good way for me to get there. And I'm sort of putting a little bit of heat on my, a little bit of pressure on myself because I've got to be in Asheville for the glass studio and blow glass and then get ready for year four and graduation, all that other stuff. So, but I've got about a little over a year to accomplish all that. But the moral of that story is, with the sound therapy comes handmade glass singing bowls, which I'm working on.
That is so cool.
Yep.
Who does that? Who makes their own singing bowls? That's really neat.
No one. And that's what some...
No one does it.
And I actually have asked myself, like, why am I... Hello, deer in headlights, Ryan. Why are you the only one doing this? Why is anyone else doing this? And I think I know why. Because if you look at the frosted quartz bowls that you buy at a store, they have a rough exterior. And when you rim sing it, that friction is what produces the vibration and the sound. These are smooth and they don't have the vibration. There's less of a vibration. So I'm like, I wonder if it's that sale. Like, why wouldn't anyone else be making these? So I'm sort of like, can I answer my own question on this one? Maybe this is like a fruitless endeavor, but I should give it a try.
I love it because you're really invested in this. And
mostly,
if you're making your own bowls, that shows a lot of...
But I think what could be nice about that is there's some pretty cool coloring techniques you could do with that. And I really want to bring these bowls back into the colors of what's called the Wuxing, or the five elements in Chinese medicine. There's five different colors associated with the organs and what we do in Chinese medicine. So I really kind of want to bring those five colors into these singing bowls.
Mm-hmm. Have you witnessed some major breakthroughs when you're doing this work on people? Do you have some stories of like profound things happening, or is it more like a few days later you might hear from a client where they're like, oh, I had this breakthrough?
I think the biggest thing there are the subtle gestures towards emotional releases.
Mm-hmm.
And those aren't anything that's forced. It's just what naturally comes up from within the body. I've had very strong and potent emotional releases from body work. So those are a natural component of what we do, but they can't be forced. So you can hear, you'll often hear from recipients, you know, a few days later, that lasted me a few days, that was great. But a lot of times in the session, you know, 20 minutes in, you know, tears are, it might be bubbling up just a little bit. But that's also part of the body's memory. That's also part of the emotional context of living in your body, you know?
Yeah.
Is releasing those repressed emotions and not forcing them. The thing with that, though, is sometimes the body can release, and there's no memory on your behalf of it. There's nothing attached to it. It's just a release.
Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing what the body holds on to.
Definitely.
It always blows me away.
And that deeper somatic work, that stuff that takes time to get to, that stuff that takes trust, and that stuff that takes like this really slow, methodical, deeper layers of relaxation is where that tension is held. And you'll a lot of times see that stress manifest in chronic conditions and pain symptoms.
Right.
And sympathetic and responses, things like that.
How often does a client see you when they're working through some things? Does it vary?
For right now, I don't have anyone on set treatment plans because I like to work with bodywork clients based on schedule and budget.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's great. If you can, if the time is and money to come every day, that's great. If you have the time and money to come once or twice a month, that's great too. So I put that ball in their court based on their time and their budget.
Mm-hmm.
So, but what I'd like to do is bring the meditation, the bodywork, and the sound therapy into a whole personal approach to your own healing and awakening, because I don't think those are separate things.
So when you're working with a client and meditation is on the forefront, how are you doing that? Is it like a guided meditation?
So I have come from background in Zen Buddhism, and I don't teach Zazen, which is a typical standard style of meditation, just because I'm not actually a Zen Buddhist. But I teach a primordial sound meditation, which comes from Deepak Chopra and David Simon from the Chopra Institute. And what's nice about it is it uses your own internal vibrations. You have your own personal mantra assigned, and you have your own internal vibrations that you really let come and go as they need to. I mean, you use it as a focusing mechanism,
right?
Use it as mental anchor, but then they come and they go and you get lost in your thoughts. And without forcing your judgment, you just come back to your breathing. So it's just a mechanism to focus on to bring that shift about.
And do you give the client the mantra?
The mantra is assigned, so it's based on Vedic principles. So based on your birth date, time and location.
Oh.
In the Vedas, this goes into a lunar cycle, but it goes into the vibrations the universe was making at your place, time, and date of birth. So once that's underway, I plug your information into a computer and it produces your mantra. your own personal bija mantra is actually what it's called.
Wow. That's so cool. Is it usually quite short or is it long?
It is. It's the, quite short. The one that can be publicly shared is, and there's a component to this, so I'll share the first one, first section first, is Om Bija Namaha. So Om Bija Namaha. That middle syllable is B-I-J-A, if you need a visual.
Mm-hmm.
So it's Om Bija Namaha. Then when we assign your personal mantra, the Bija, the seed syllable, is replaced with your own.
Okay.
But those other two components stay the same.
Okay.
So it just changes. And that's kept as a sacred component. That's kept to yourself. But the Om Bija Namaha, you can use on your own.
Oh, that's cool. I like that. So how do you feel like you help people that are seeking your services?
That's changed quite a bit since I've started studying Chinese medicine. One of the reasons I felt the need to return to Chinese medicine is to really be able to approach a patient from a different energetic barrier.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like with massage, it produces results, but I can only get to a certain point, but I'm like, they need more energy work. They need more specific stuff in both the spiritual realm and the physical realm.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything new on the horizon for you? I know you're in school, so what's that about?
So I'm actually a third-year student at an acupuncture school in Boone. There's two acupuncture schools in North Carolina. I go to Zhengdao, which is in Zhengdao School of Classical Chinese Medicine, which is in Boone. So I do have that. At the end of our classes this year, we'll be in all clinics next year. And after that, we'll be licensing. So I look forward to actually being able to work with both the muscles and soft tissue component and the energetic component. So there's that. That's sort of what's next on the horizon.
I am super excited for you to be doing acupuncture because I get asked that a lot here at the center. And we do not have anybody currently doing acupuncture at Soul Wellness right now.
I see that as a good opportunity here. And the space is so nice, you know. So it's like,
It's
nice to have so many practitioners to work with. But then I didn't see an acupuncturist either. So I'm like, well, maybe we should hang loose and see what happens here first.
That would be great to have that service here. It's definitely something I've dreamed of since day one.
Yeah.
Talk to me about what a typical session with you looks like and how long. What's the length of session?
So this sort of goes back to what a typical massage client expects. I would love to be able to offer a 90-minute first visit for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty standard fare for acupuncture. For massage, not so much. People like to come and they like to leave. So I haven't really slowed everyone down to do that to this point. But a typical appointment for me involves an hour or 15, 20 minutes or so. We look at some structure components. We look at bony landmarks. We look at what muscles might be affected. With the veterans I've worked with, there are some more severe orthopedic concerns that obviously they're being referred to for medical massage that I have to take consideration. So I like to look at that. For women, I like to take consideration women's health. I can't treat it as an acupuncturist yet, but it's something important to know. So there's several different components in there rather than just showing up, receiving a treatment, and leaving. I like to get to know someone. I like to be able to slow the appointment down to a certain extent where we can like get an understanding of where they are and then treat their needs and then reschedule from there.
So do doctors refer to you?
They can. Being new to Mooresville, I'm not actually networked out into the medical community at all locally, and I know I should. But this is just where I am as far as getting into the space. And I've thought about that, but I haven't been there just yet.
Yeah.
But they can, definitely. The chiropractor is a good referral source. Other acupuncturists are a good referral source. Medical doctors are. Osteopaths are. There's a lot of different ways.
Because I don't feel like a lot of people do medical massage. I feel like the majority are doing Swedish and deep tissue massages.
And that's really one of the strengths is working from a neuromuscular and deep tissue component. So one of the things that became obvious to me as a therapist or as a massage therapist when I first started is people would come in and say, well, I want a sports massage. And I'd be like, do you want a pre or post event sports massage? Or do you want like a deep tissue or deep Swedish? Or the definition of sports massage is a bit vague depending on a person's level of activity.
Mm-hmm.
Deep tissue, people can say they just want deep firm pressure or they need specific trigger points worked out. So when you get to like medical and orthopedic massage, it's closer to specific muscle isolation and specific trigger point work with myofascial release and some other modalities in there.
Okay.
So neuromuscular therapy is where you'd kind of hone in on that medical aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Neuromuscular therapy and myofascial release.
How long have you been doing this?
I was first introduced to bodywork when I left active duty, so that would have been like 99. And then I got licensed. I went back to massage school in 04 and then was licensed in 05.
Okay.
I worked and got really burnt out from until about 08. I took quite a bit of time off and come back into and started working way back into it for getting ready for acupuncture school in like 2000, 17 or 18, but I did take some time off because I was like, I was crispy. I was done.
Yeah. Yeah. I could see how you could easily burn out doing that.
It's exhausting.
For sure. Because you're kind of taking on other people's energy too. You got to be really careful with that.
When I first started into the intuitive realms, I guess I would say, it was obvious to me, like a lot of psychics or a lot of readers, you know, they're pulling energy from people, but they're not always nourishing or reciprocating the energy. So it's real easy to, like you said, to just be drained because you're not nourishing yourself, but then you're also not sending the energy back. So I think there's an imbalance that can happen there between different energies of the body.
Right. I really like what you do now that I've sat down and talked to you, because I haven't had this chance to sit down and talk to you, but now that I have, I really like the fact that you are working on somebody with a physical modality and you understand that there's an emotional component. You understand that trauma is stored in the body and you can help them get to that. Because I really feel like if that's never addressed, the chronic issue is going to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you fix whatever is physically hurting chronically, it's going to manifest in a different way. Your body is the one thing that is trying to get your attention and tell you, hey, look a little deeper.
Yeah. That's a big one, because the emotions, like as guys, especially in the veterans I've worked with, it's unfortunate because I think on one level it needs to be acknowledged and at least verbalized.
Right.
And I'm not there or qualified to be a talk therapist. But I think the other part of it is, like you're saying, people aren't recognizing what's happening with the body that has no words. People aren't recognizing the emotions and the sensations in the somatic tension that's really held at deeper levels that needs to be addressed. Unfortunately, we can't force that stuff out. And you can't be rushed. So you've got to really work with it and get to deeper layers. And like, this is like 3-4 treatments in that someone's finally opening up from my experience. Like, very few will just plop in and open up like that.
Right. And I doubt seriously anybody would do that. But like I said, you can plant those seeds.
Mm-hmm.
You're very educated on this. And to tell them, oh, how long have you been dealing with this? Neck pain, shoulder pain, whatever.
Yeah. The other part of that, though, too, is like we talk about healing and integrative healing. This is, you know, definitely what I've learned is the awakening is there. It's like when I first woke up, it became about previous incarnations, and then that becomes about healing, and that takes you a different layer of awakening. So there's a process there between healing and awakening that I think needs understood, especially for men. It's like these combat veterans coming in back from Iraq and Afghanistan, which is some time ago, granted, but they went through combat stresses I've never had to deal with. So I'm really trying to be an off-ramp for them, a safe way for them to help work through some of that stuff.
And it's good that you have the understanding. You can empathize with them.
Yeah, I understand the military machine. I understand, you know, we volunteer to go through this machine and do our thing, and then we're spit out the other end of it. Well, oftentimes with not a lot of support. Although post 9/11, there's a lot more available to veterans than there was before 9/11. So they have a lot going for it.
That's good. That's good that they have you. So tell everybody how they can find you and how to book with you.
Two easy ways. One is a website. That's at kusalahealing.com. And I'll spell that for you. That is K-U-S-A as in apple, L-A, healing.com. And then the email address is scheduling@kusalahealing.com. Those are the two quickest ways. In the next few weeks, I will have a scheduling link up. I'm reorganizing my scheduling system, and I have to have my web designer install a little button, so that'll be up in the next few weeks.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Easy to see you and easy to find you, so that's good.
On the website, just hop to the contact section and shoot an email that way, or just use email address, whatever way is easiest.
And do you do an initial consult over the phone, or do you like to do that in person?
I can do that. What I like to do is make sure that we're both a good fit for each other, both personality-wise and their expectations of what services I provide. So I do offer a free 20-minute discovery call.
Okay.
You can either phone call or Zoom just to answer your questions, make sure we're a good fit, and then go from there.
Okay, great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much for
taking
the time to talk to me today. I've learned so much about what you do, and it's fascinating.
Yes, thank you.
You're the best of both worlds.
Try to be. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us on another enriching episode of Soul Wellness with Kristen. We hope the insights shared today have resonated with you, inspiring a deeper connection to your own journey towards holistic well-being. If you enjoyed today's episode, we invite you to subscribe, share, and reach out. Your feedback fuels our mission to bring you meaningful content that educates, empowers, and uplifts. Remember, you are a vital part of this community, and together, we're creating a ripple effect of positive change.